Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to worship. Nice to have you here. What a beautiful day. Beautiful congregation. You know, it occurred to me, I was at a junior high retreat, middle school retreat this week. As I looked around at all the people in northeast Minnesota, I wouldn't trade our congregation for anything. I mean, we have people here that who have the most wonderful grandkids of anybody in the Synod. We have the best grandkids. We've got a Christmas tree up there that I know is going to be loaded with hats and mittens for those kids who don't have hats and mittens. If someone's hurting, you guys support one another and send cards and pray for each other. And I come and if someone's hurting, you got smiles and ready for a pat on the back. We've got the best hunters here, Roy. And conservationists, people who care for the land. And you know what? This is a pretty wonderful congregation. So thanks for letting me be a part of it. It's just been really a joy. Say a couple of things. We got sign up for the women's luncheon on Saturday, December 1st. On Monday, the 3rd of December, is our church Christmas party. On the 3rd, I think, the 5th is the Glory Baptist salad luncheon, or is it a Christmas luncheon or something like that? Salad luncheon. I'll donate some venison. Anyway, there's sign-up for all of that. Poinsettias is also there. So the season next Sunday is Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of the church year, and then we enter into the season of Advent. So that's what the sign-up sheets are for. If you'd like to participate in any way, there you go. Also, you can see there's we need some coffee servers, so when you're going for coffee today, take a look at the schedule. If you can help out in any way, that would be great. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, you are a wonderful God. You have called us even before we were born. You have placed your Spirit in us. You have breathed your life into us, and we've come to recognize you as someone who will always be there and loves us unconditionally. And so as we gather around your holy table, as we sing these wonderful hymns, as we enter into another Thanksgiving day, we pray your Spirit might come alive, that we might be your people in a troubled world. Bless us now with your Spirit, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is Lift High the Cross. We'll stand for the singing of the last verse.
Thank you.
Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness. We open our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your sovereign purpose brings salvation to birth. Give us faith to be steadfast amid the tumults of this world, trusting that your kingdom comes and your will is done through your Son, Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Glory, hallelujah. fun song to sing. Our first reading this morning comes from Hebrews 10. Images of worship and sacrifice are used throughout Hebrews to highlight what Christ has uniquely accomplished through his death. Because we have received forgiveness through Christ's death, we live with sincere hearts by trusting in God's promises and encouraging love and good works from each other. And every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds," he also adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The second lesson is Psalm 16. Please read the bold print, and where you see the bold are, please read the refrain. "Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in me. I have said to the Lord, 'You are my Lord, my good above all other.'
All my delight is in the valley that are in the land, among those who are noble among the people.
But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied.
I will not pour out drink offerings to such gods, never take their names upon my lips. My heart is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body shall rest in hope.
O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot.
My boundaries enclose a pleasant land. Indeed, I have a rich inheritance.
I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night.
I have set the Lord always before me. Because God is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. My heart is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body shall rest in hope.
My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope.
For you will not abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One see the dead.
You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
My heart is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body shall rest in hope."
Please stand for the reading of the Gospel.
The Holy Gospel this morning is found in the 13th chapter of St. Mark. In the last week of his life, Jesus warned his disciples concerning trials that were to come upon them and upon the world. He exhorts the listener, "Do not be alarmed." As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated. See, the hymn is listed after the sermon, but I think we'll sing that hymn now, Faith of Our Fathers. Let's join in singing hymn 812. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Church of Jesus Christ is intended to be a community that encourages one another, that, as Hebrews says in our first lesson, that provokes one another to love and to good works. We're to provoke one another to do good works, to love one another. Is it all right if I tell you a bad joke? I'm not really asking permission, just giving you a warning, okay? Guy goes into a bar. He's sitting on the stool enjoying his drink. All of a sudden, he hears a voice, and he says, "You look great today. You look marvelous. You look fantastic." And looks around, and he doesn't see anybody around him. Then he hears the voice again, No, you really look terrific. I mean, you're at the top of your game." And he looks around, and he doesn't see anything. And then he hears that voice again. It says, "Is that a new shirt or something? I mean, you look absolutely glowing." And he realizes that the voice is coming out of a tray of nuts that are down on the bar. And he hollers over at the barkeep and he says, "What's with the nuts?" And he says, "Well, they're complimentary." I told you it was bad. Sorry. But you know what? Don't you enjoy being around someone who's complimentary, who lifts you up, someone who encourages you and praises you and thinks the best of you? I mean, what is that likely to do for you when others are giving you compliments? Doesn't it make you more apt to encourage someone else and pick up your spirits and get on down the road? There's a commercial on TV some of you probably have seen it. A man is walking on a sidewalk. He sees a small child drop a ball out of his stroller, and so he picks up the ball and returns it to the child, and the child's mom notices the gesture, and she smiles. And later on, this woman is coming out of a donut shop. And she sees a man who's reading the paper, and she sees that his coffee is a little close to the edge of the table, and so she slides it over so it doesn't fall off, you know. And someone sitting in the next table notices this act of kindness. Later, that man who saw the act of kindness sees a man slipping and falling on the sidewalk, on a rainy sidewalk, and he picks him up and says, "You all right?" And the guy says, "Yeah." Fallen man waves and says, "Thanks for helping, you know." And later on, this man who's fallen is getting into an elevator, and he goes in the elevator. He sees a woman running to catch the elevator, and he pushes the button to keep the doors open. And the man that's on the elevator, another man, notices that, you know. Later, that man's coming out of a grocery store. He sees a pickup truck with a camper on backing up, and there's a motorcycle there. And he sees that the guy's in trouble, and he pounds on the window and says, "You got a motorcycle there, I'll direct you," you know. And on and on and on and on. And you get the idea. One good deed begets another and another and another. It's a commercial for an insurance company, but in 60 seconds it dramatizes the fact that kindness is contagious. It's passed on. We want to help each other. Kindness is contagious. You never know what kind of an effect an individual act of kindness is going to have on someone else. Columnist Leo Aikman writes for the Atlanta Constitution, once told of a family of eight that had a nice plot behind their house with a vegetable garden, and it was bordered by lilacs. Now, on the other side of the lilacs were transients that lived there, kind of a tenement, and the people in the tenement would throw shoes and socks and junk over the lilac bushes, and the kids that lived there, you know, thought that those guys should be told off. But his mother, the mother who was an immigrant and had never gone beyond grammar school in the old country, had never heard the word psychology, she said this: "You boys go out and cut some lilacs down, and I want you to give some lilacs to all the people that live back there." So they went to 12 families and handed lilacs out. "Our mother thought you might enjoy these," they said. And somehow, a miracle happened, huh? No more items were thrown into their garden. People started taking care of it. You never know where a simple act of kindness might lead. Motivational speaker Mark Sanborn tells about a shy, self-conscious 15-year-old named Tony. Spent 3 years sitting on the bench on his basketball team, never playing, and the coach was also the coach of the baseball team. He said, don't even go out, because save yourself the embarrassment. And this kid wanted to be an athlete, but didn't seem to have much hope. Well, one day there was a knock on his door. There stood a 50-year-old neighbor, Frank. Invited him, he was a jogger, invited this Tony to jog with him. And so he started jogging with him, took him over to the track, said, "Run 4 times around," that's the distance of a mile. He timed him, and Tony said, the old guy said, "You know, that's only twice as long as Roger Bannister ran his mile. You stick with it and you'll be worth something." Well, you know, to run an 8-minute mile is nothing special. Even I can run an 8-minute, even you can run an 8-minute mile. Long story short, the track coach asks him to go out. And then his first race, he finishes last, but he keeps with it and he sticks with it. And 35 years later, this guy has won like 14 ultra marathons. He's won triathlons. He's a master athlete now and set records in triathlons. He started and is the creator and director of the Miracle Kids Triathlon, which raises money for kids with cancer. This is what he writes. He says, "I've often thought about how different my life would have turned out if Frank had simply jogged by the house that morning as he had always done. But on that day, he felt a strong impulse to reach out to me. As is so often the case, the simple gesture done at just the right moment can be life-changing. It was for me that day. Those four laps gave a very troubled teen's life a completely new direction. And so I will always be grateful to Frank Weathern. And for some reason, he and track coach Kafka not only reached out to me at my biggest moment of need, they did it by zeroing right in on where my life gift sat waiting to be discovered. I'm convinced the gift would have sat that way too, at least for a very long time, had either one turned away from the urge to help me. See, you never know where an act of kindness will lead. Jewish physician Boris Kornfeld was imprisoned in Siberia because he was Jewish. There he worked in surgery. He helped both staff and prisoners. During the time he was in prison, being the surgeon, he met a Christian whose name was unknown, but he had a quiet faith and frequent reciting of the Lord's Prayer. This guy recited the Lord's Prayer wherever he went, and it had an impact on Dr. Kornfeld. Well, one day while he was repairing an artery of a guard, Kornfeld had the thought that maybe I'll just, when I suture this, I'll let him bleed inside and bleed internally and let him die. But then he hated the thought that he even had that thought. And he found himself praying part of that Lord's Prayer that Christian had found such comfort with. And he prayed the part, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And afterwards, he began to refuse to obey various inhumane, immoral prison camp rules. He just stopped doing that. He knew that his quiet rebellion was going to put him in danger with the prison guards. Well, one afternoon, he examined a patient who had undergone an operation to remove cancer, and he saw in the man's eyes a depth of spiritual misery. The guy was just in deep trouble spiritually. And it moved this doctor to compassion, and he told this patient his story, how he had been Jewish and how this patient had come and prayed the Lord's Prayer, and he started praying the Lord's Prayer. And now that he had a secret faith in Jesus Christ himself. That very night, Dr. Kornfeld was killed and was murdered in his sleep. Huh? But his testimony didn't go without vain. The person who had heard his confession and heard his statement about saying the Lord's Prayer, he survived the prison camp. He went on to tell the world about the life in the gulag. His name was Alexander Solzhenitsyn. And Solzhenitsyn went on to be one of the leading Russian writers in the 20th century. And he told about gulags and prison camps and the perils of Russian communism. One act of kindness can go a long, long way. You never know what a word of witness to God's love of Jesus Christ might lead. And that's why the writer of Hebrews tells us to provoke or to spur one another on toward loving acts of kindness, on doing good deeds, on encouraging one another. That's why he says this, because that word can spread and it can lift people up. A great Jewish rabbi named Abraham Joshua Heschel once wrote, "When I was younger, I used to admire intelligent people. Now that I'm older, I admire kind people." So as I put that in my mind, I wonder, why would he say that? What's going on here? And I think it's because he knows that kindness is contagious. And kind people are truly building a better world. Do you know any curmudgeons? Any grumps? Yeah, I think you do. Me too. Makes me wonder why we're grumpy, you know. Because we have so much to be thankful for, and we want to witness to the goodness of God. And Christ set the example of love and kindness for us. We love because he first loved us, as the writer of 1 John. One last story. I remember 182 stations. I'm sitting there one night, can't sleep. I see this old infomercial. It's got this Tony Robbins, and he's interviewing Mother Teresa. So I thought, I'm going to watch this and see what. And it's taken place back in the 80s or something like that. Anyway, Tony Robbins is a motivational speaker. He promises if you take his program, everyone will be rich and popular and successful. Tony Robbins is about 6'7", and Mother Teresa was about 4'5". about your size, Jim. About 4 foot three, you know. It was kind of a funny situation as he sat in the chair and she sat on this couch. Anyway, Robbins asked Mother Teresa, how did you manage to become so successful, so famous? And she smiles at the camera and says, Jesus. He says, no. I mean, how is it that you become the leader of this huge religious institution, serve the most desperate people in the world in the streets of Calcutta, how you travel constantly and how you touch so many people? And she smiles and says, Jesus. He says, no. I'm asking you, how do you do it? How do you carry on with this difficult, extraordinary life? How you speak to millions of people? How you touch millions of people in the world? And how you become one of the greatest people in the world and in the history of the world? How do you do that? And she says, Jesus. And Tony Robbins, he looks at her and he's totally mystified. I mean, he's got no idea. He's got no clue what she's talking about. You know what she's talking about if Jesus has touched your life. You know what she's talking about if Christ has made an impact in your life. And the way Christ will likely touch your life is through the influence of someone whom he has also touched. That's why we are to provoke one another in love and in doing good works. That's why we're to encourage one another, to bring out the best in each other, huh? So that someday the whole world will know Jesus and his love. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us all, especially this holiday week. Amen. This time we'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering. Will the congregation please rise? Please turn to the offertory prayer on page 4. Let us pray. God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand of blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to help all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. In communion with the saints of every time and place, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. God of promise, keep the church faithful in its mission, hopeful in its future, and attentive to the signs of your presence in the world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Mighty God, do not abandon the earth to wasteful use or reckless destruction, but protect and nurture it until your new creation comes to birth. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is
great. Sovereign God, show forth your kingdom on earth. Let peace reign among nations and all the hungry be fed. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is
great. Refuge of the weary, uphold the lives of all who call upon you in need. Especially we remember those in our lives who need your healing hand, who need your special touch. Give them the joy of your presence, that their spirit will again rejoice. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Holy Spirit, inspire this assembly to encourage one another in the weekly gathering around the means of grace and in loving service throughout the week. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this lesson today that reminds us to love and to care and to reach out and to support. Give us the heart to do that, that this world of yours might be a better place. We ask your blessing upon those who are hurting or alone this day, those who are mourning the loss of loved ones. We ask your blessing upon family and friends, especially as we travel and as we celebrate Thanksgiving. Grant us thankful hearts. Watch over our loved ones this day. Wherever they find themselves, keep them in your loving care. Holy God, we give thanks for the faithful departed. Keep us ever watchful. And on the last day, wake us with all your saints to everlasting life. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Let's join in confessing our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And so we gather at the Holy Table, ever mindful of Christ's Last Supper, where he gathered with family and friends. And he gave us freedom, freedom from our sins. He took bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body. It's given for you. Do this as often as you eat this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All are invited to the table of our Lord. This morning we'll use intinction, so please dip the bread in either the wine or the grape juice. Come, the table is ready. Will the congregation please rise? The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion on the bottom of page 5. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 818.